my biggest fears when I'm getting up to preach is that I don't trip and fall. But it's good to be here, and I bet you all wish that we had brought some rain with us this time, considering how dry it is down in this area. But you'll just have to wait until you get to the letter R in hurricane season. I'll be back. But it's good to be here. Nice to see all of you again. And if you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 5. I'm going to get a little personal in this message tonight, not only personal with myself, but personal with God's people, whom I have the privilege of looking at tonight and talking to. I'm going to describe us a little bit. I've entitled this message, Believer's Spiritual Biography. And every one of us, all of God's people, are in this message tonight. It's not a pretty picture, but it ends up a great story. And I hope the Lord blesses it. Now, there's a certain man in this story, and the spiritual condition of all believers, past, present, and future, before the Spirit awakens them, and you all know what I'm talking about when I said that, and make our paths cross our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. God will always send His people, a minister, to preach to them and cross their path with the true word. And tonight we're going to see where that comes true for a certain man. And in this particular verse, this particular passage, Christ finds a certain man. It wasn't by accident that Christ found this man. He knew this man from the ancient realm of eternity. This man, when he comes across him, was exactly where Christ purposed to put him. Amen. He found him in his natural condition, and you'll see that's our natural condition also. This man was at the purposed place where Christ crossed his path. You know where Christ found him? He found him among tombs, dead people. And that's how we were found, dead in trespasses and sins. You know what Brother Tim James also calls it, and you'll see with this man, as it was with us before Christ was revealed to us, Brother Tim James says it was spiritual insanity. And so this man, and it was at a purposed time. We're all here this evening, as Christ has purposed us to be here this evening. And it's always that way. Christ will always cross his people at a certain time, at a certain place, where he has purposed this to be. And it will always be that way until he returns. Now let's read verse 1 of Mark 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Now they here, this is Christ, first of all. Christ is the main one of the story. But they, that's Christ and his disciples. They followed him from one side of the Sea of Galilee, across the Sea of Galilee, to this place of the country of the Gadarenes. Christ had crossed the Sea of Galilee to the land of the Gadarenes. Many people followed our Lord where he went, but our Lord had one particular man in mind in this place called the Gadarenes. He had one of his sheep. Now, this sheep lived in near a city called Gadara. And Gadara was a capital city of a Roman province east of the Sea of Galilee. When I was studying for this message, I wanted to know what that word Gadarene meant. And I found out that Gadarene means engaged in a headlong, fatal run. Now keep that in mind, because that's going to start twice here, and that meaning of that word will be fulfilled, we'll see, twice in our study. Gadarenes, engaged in a headlong fatal run. Now let's look at verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, that is Christ, immediately, there was no hesitation here. Christ no sooner got off the ship which had to be very close to this area, these tombs, these graves. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. There we are. Now we're introduced to ourselves before regeneration. A man of unclean spirit. This unclean spirit speaks of a believer's sins. A believer's lost spiritual condition. A believer's unregenerated state. But, and that's us without Christ. Now, we did not know Christ. This man did not know it. Here, you'll see in a minute, he will recognize Christ. But this man had no idea Christ was going to cross this path. It's on Christ's purpose that he'll do that. And this story shows the ability, the power, and the love of Christ to go where his people are, to meet them in their sad, serious, demon, sin-possessed condition, and give them new spiritual life. This account demonstrates Christ's amazing and unsearchable love and the spiritual healing of his elect sinful people by his blood atonement before his Father. Remember, before our Lord met this man, before in eternity past, Christ was already the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. This man's sin, this man's condition was known by Christ. But Christ had already paid for this man's sins. He knew him. And we'll find here in verse 3, talking continually about this man. This man had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Basically, he was a wild man. Probably very poorly dressed, and rags and whatsoever, and put out here. He was probably put out here in the tombs to get rid of him so he wouldn't bother the people in and around the area. And the tombs that this man was in, they were always outside of cities because the Jews believed if anyone touched a tomb or a dead body, they would be unclean for 7 days. So they didn't want to be near this man. Isolate him. Get him out of the way. By the demon's limited power, just like God limited what Satan could do to Job, God had limited what this man could do. And but it was by Christ's determination and power that this man was here. And this man lived among the dead. And that's the condition of all of God's elect people. And that's where Christ finds all of them, where he found us. Because as is all humanity, we're born spiritually insane. And we're born spiritually dead. Listen, familiar to you. You can turn it here if you want to, but let me read it to you. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. Beautiful passage. And you, that's the spiritually dead, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's where he found this man. That's where he found us. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. We didn't care about Christ. We didn't know who Christ was. Oh, we might have heard the name Jesus around Christmas time. And we might have seen it on billboards somewhere. But before regeneration, before we really had a knowledge of who Christ is, it was just a name. We pictured him hanging on a cross. We pictured him in a cradle, in a manger, and all that. We had all those images, but we didn't really know who he was. But it says, where in time past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And listen to this, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. You know, the lust of our flesh still pesters us. It's constantly. I think Norm one of those days said something about even your dreams. You find the lust of the flesh in the dreams. And it says when we're found in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling, what are we doing? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Sin's not just an outward thing. Sin's not just words we speak, but sin's in here, deep in here. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what this man was like. That's what we were like. Then look at verse 4 and 5. Well, I just, this man in verse 4 and 5, this man whose name was known to Christ, was a spiritual mess. He really didn't know how bad a mess he was in. He was so out of his mind with this spiritual disease because that he had, listen, verse 4 and 5 of Mark chapter 5, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. It was so wild, they had to, even in the tombs, they had to keep him bound up one way or another. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him. He always found a way to get out. And the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Well, it didn't matter what. It's like that lady with the issue of blood. What was it? She went to this doctor over a period of 12 years, and no person could cure her. Well, it was like with this man. No man could tame him. No man could keep him down. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. That's a terrible physical condition, but it's a terrible spiritual condition to be lost in a way like that. This man was in bondage to sin. Not in his right spiritual mind, and unaware of the eternal consequences. You know what this man was doing? He was Gadarening. Remember what I said? A rushing to a fatal place. This man, in his lost spiritual condition, was Gadarening to go to hell. He was rushing to that place. These chains represent one bound in false religion, chained to the law, chained to their self-righteousness. False religion is strong. Works of the law are strong and binds one's deeds of self-righteousness. The law reveals, Paul said this. You know what Paul said when he had the law, Saul of Tarsus, when he found out what the law really said? He said, it killed me. It slew me. I found out exactly what the law said. And he said, I died. Not physically, but he died. He knew. He thought at one time he was a saved man because he was better than anyone else, he said. See that in Philippians 3. But when it was revealed to Paul what the law said, Paul said, it slew me. Because you know what the law does? The law can't save. The law reveals how much humans are bound to sin. It condemns and cannot save. And this man shows the sad condition of those souls in which sin and Satan still has domination. Now, I'm not saying we're not free. We still have all of that in us. We're still capable of doing an awful lot that we don't want to do. What's Romans 7 say? Paul said, "Boy, I do those things I wished I didn't." And those things I shouldn't do, what Paul say? He said, I did them. We're just like that. And we are those children of disobedience in whom that unclean spirit works, in which all of us were at one time. When unbelievers physically hear what God's strict law says, and we're talking about unbelievers, those bound in those chains of the law, those bound in unbelief, those bound in self-righteousness, you know what they do when they hear the gospel? They disregard it. They ignore it. They say, that doesn't apply to me. Trish has a friend a long-standing friend that was her. When Trish taught Head Start, this lady was Trish's aide. And Trish gave her tapes of Henry Mahan, and she listened to him for a while, and then she came back one day and she said, don't give me any more. She finally heard what the truth was. And what she believes is she was responsible for all of her sins before she was baptized. But now her problem still is she believes that God will accept her if she does her best. She's still in those chains and bound in self-righteousness. And they disregard what the law says about them. They disregard what the scripture says about them. And or they'll do the opposite. They'll proceed to try to keep them all. I had a lady one time tell me, she says, "You mean to tell me all those good works I've done doesn't mean a thing for me to get into heaven?" And I said, "That's right." I said, "If you're depending on your good works to get you into heaven, you've got a problem." And they do that to gain God's approval. In the best case, the Pharisees. In either case, whether they reject it or whether they continue to go on in their own self-righteous way, they're still bound to the law, and it still condemns them. God's law reveals how sinful we are. Listen to what Romans 6:20 refers to unbelievers as being servants of sin. We are. And as spiritually speaking, it was this man that we're talking about in these tombs, this certain man, as were all of God's elect. Let me show you how. Have you ever come to a worship service and you were determined that I'm going to worship without any thoughts of the world? Have you ever succeeded? No. We're still bound in this flesh to this earth and to bound into its whatever's going on in it. But look at verse 6. Here's a change. A marvelous, miraculous change for this man. It says, but when he, this demonic man, saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Regeneration, awakening going on there. It says in John 6:44, Christ says this, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Why 1 second was this man raging and running around and everybody was afraid of him? Why 1 second he was that way and then he saw Christ afar off? We see Christ with our spiritual eyes. You know, those people of the Old Testament, they saw him. They saw him when he was going to come. We look back and we see him. But you know what, one day we see him with our spiritual eyes. We see him with faith and hope. But you know, one day he's not going to be that far off. We're going to be with him and we're going to see him face to face. And all elect sinners saved by the blood of Christ, in themselves, in ourselves, cannot come to Christ by our sinful weakness. It's not by blood. It's not by flesh. It's not by the will of man. I told back home, when I preached this message, a form of it, I told the young ones sitting in the congregation, I said, just because your mother and father or your grandparents may be believers doesn't mean you're going to be. Just because they give you instructions and they bring you to church, can't be by the will of man. A preacher can't preach you into salvation. It has to be of God. And this man, in that verse, when he saw Christ afar off, he came and he worshipped him, fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Christ, you notice, you know, this man couldn't get to Christ. But John 1:11 says, Christ came into his own. He came to this man, just as he did with the rest of us. He brought us to a place, but it was Christ that came to us and brought us through the power of his Spirit. And as Christ came to this man in his terrible spiritual condition, he came to us in our terrible spiritual condition. Listen what the Savior, what our Lord said also in Luke 19:10. Let me quote it to you. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. This man is going through a great transformation. What a great day for this man. You know, the only other great day for this man will be the great day when he leaves this earth and he goes and is with Christ face to face. This demonic man was a child of God and knew his Christ when he saw him. And he came and he ran to him. He didn't leisurely walk to him, it said he ran to him. He couldn't wait to get to him. He had to be where his Savior was. He had to be there at his feet. Now, our Lord took the form of himself, the form of a sinless man. He lived among his people. He knew, you know, this. Our Lord was acquainted with this man's griefs. He knew what this man was going through, as he's acquainted with our griefs. Have you ever felt like nobody cares about how you feel? You know, they may not even know how you feel. You may be suffering inside and you don't think anybody cares. There is one who cares. Christ cares. He looks after his people just as he was looking after this man. Our Lord lived among his people and he sought out his people who were not seeking him. Saul of Tarsus was not seeking Christ. Saul was on his road of Damascus to destroy those people and persecute those people that were worshiping Christ. But in Acts 9, verse 3 through 9, Christ stopped him, threw him off his high righteous horse, threw him face in the ground, blinded his eyes for a while. And then Paul, instead of going to persecute people, he eventually ended up preaching and was persecuted himself for preaching that which he once persecuted those for. Christ called Saul. He called us. It was the same with this demonic man as it was with all the other believers, as it will be with all future believers. When this demonic man saw Christ by the power and calling of the Spirit through the unsearchable riches of Christ's mercy and grace, he ran to him. Ephesians 1:18 refers to this spiritual seeing. It says, the eyes of your understanding have been enlightened. We now see that which we didn't once see. In John 10:4, Christ said, he knows his people. He said, and they know him. This man knew his Lord. Just like this man, he knew his Lord. His name is not told us. We don't know anything about this man, but we can find other examples of this man. I mentioned one, Saul of Tarsus. There was another man at one time in Scripture who did not know his Lord. You know, there were two men crucified, one on Christ's left hand and one on the right. Man on the left hand kept railing and raging and criticizing Christ that if you are who say you are, get us off this cross. The other man to the right, he knew who Christ was. He said, Lord, just like this demonic man, Lord, when you enter paradise, remember me. Don't forget this one. And our Lord said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. And he opened that thief's eyes. He opened Saul Tarsus's eyes. And he opened the eyes of this demonic man, just like he's opened our spiritual eyes. This demonic man, remember I read earlier where no one could bind him, no one could keep him in chains. He broke the fetters and the chains. At one time, this demonic man normally ran upon others with rage. They were afraid of him. They tried to stay away from him. But now, he ran to Christ with love. This man's fury was subdued. This man's nature, sinful nature, was conquered. This man was no longer what he once was. And we'll see a little bit later about what it says about him. The chains of the curse of the law and false religion that this man was dead in, they were broken. Just as our chains were broken and our fetters were cut away from us before we knew who Christ was. This man was released from his spiritual insanity. He now knew his Lord and his Savior. His sin against God was put away, just as all believers' sins have been put away. Listen what Isaiah 42:7 says about this to believers. It says to open the blind eyes. This is what our Lord had come to do, to open the blind eyes. And this man was blind to Christ till he was revealed, and to bring out the prisoners from the prison. This man was in a terrible. He was not in a physical jail, but he was fettered and he was chained and he was bound and he hung around in the tombs. And it says in Isaiah there, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sat in darkness out of the prison house. This man, like all of the other believers, had always been in the hands of his Lord. But now his Lord was facing him face to face. Look at verse 7. Here we see another, something else, a change here. This is not the man talking now. This is not the man. He's not saying these words, but listen. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Whoever is speaking here knew who Christ was. And I'll tell you what, he was afraid. You'll see who this is. And this whoever speaking says, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. This, the speaker here, is afraid. Eternally afraid. Now, whoever, the speaker here is speaking through this demonic man. Though the demonic man knew Christ and was cleansed from his sins by the blood of his Savior, there was still uncleanness in him. We can see that. There's still something coming from this man's mouth. We can see that in verse 6 and 7. In Christ, before his father, believers are without sin. But in themselves, the motion of sin still operates. And we know that by our experience. You know who was speaking in this man? It was the devil. A demonic spirit was still speaking. That devil, that demon, you'll see their name here in a few minutes. That man, that demon, was using this man's tongue that yelled out with a loud voice. That wasn't the man himself speaking, but this man was, the demon was speaking, using this man's tongue. Listen to what it says, James 2:19. The devils know Christ and tremble. And that devil, that legion in this man, they were trembling. These demons knew Christ's purpose regarding them. They knew Christ's purpose regarding this man. These demons knew they could not stand against the power of Christ. Now here in verse 8 and 9, Christ is speaking. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, this is Christ, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" Now we know Christ never asked questions because he doesn't know the answer. He knew exactly. You know, when Christ asked Adam, "Where art thou?" He knew where Adam was. He knew what Adam had done. He was wanting Adam to admit it. And Christ said, "What is thy name?" And this unclean spirit, this demon, he answered saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." There's so many sins in us, known and unknown, open and secret. It's obvious from verse 8 and 10, there must have been one main demon who spoke for the others, because the singular personal pronoun "he" is used twice. When the demons answer Christ, the word "he" is used. Now, you know, when that demon answered, Christ didn't reason with the demon, but instantly and powerfully, he gave a command for them to leave that man. Christ didn't even acknowledge how many there were, because he used the term, he said, called him an unclean spirit. You know, Christ knew the names of these demons, for he has all knowledge. He knew there were many of them. If they had names, he knew their names. He was not asking that question, "Who are you?" for information, But he was asking that question to teach those around him, watching. You know, this was not done in a secret place now. There were people around Christ, because wherever he went, people followed him. His disciples were with him. Others probably were with him. But it was to teach his disciples and us that even the demons, even our sins, no matter their number, have no real eternal power over us. They've already been defeated. Our sins in Christ have already been paid for. We don't have to worry about God's wrath and condemnation toward us, because Christ has already taken all of that upon himself. And these demons cannot stand with Christ. In verse 13, we'll bring out the number of the demons. But look at verse 10. And he, that is the demon now, besought Christ much that he would not send them away out of the country. They didn't want to leave this man. They wanted to stay where they were in this demonic man. They controlled him. They had power over him. They enjoyed where they were. Don't send us out of this man. Don't send us out of the country. The main demon is trying to bargain with God. I can remember growing up just as if it were yesterday. I used to love to play basketball. I can remember one day when I was in fifth and sixth grade. This is terrible. I asked God to let me play basketball for the Ashland Tomcats. I was trying to bargain with God. God, I'll be a good little boy. Just let me play basketball for the Tomcats. I never told you that, did I? No, there's a lot of secrets she doesn't know yet. And I hope they come out from my mouth, not from any other source. But anyway, this demon was trying to bargain with God. Takes no counsel from any man. Listen to what Proverbs 8:14 says. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. God says, I am understanding. Power is mine. You don't bargain with the devil. Listen to what's said in Isaiah 40, verses 13 through 14. It says, who hath directed the spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor has taught him. With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment. And taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding. Who gives God counsel? No one. He has all the answers because he knows all the questions. You ever watch that game show called The Beast? Or The Chase? Called The Chase? There's a man that you try to defeat against knowledge. And this man, he's called the Beast because he has an IQ of 155. He very seldom loses because he has a lot of answers. God has all the answers. Verse 11 through 13. Now, there was there nigh unto the mountains of a great herd of swine, pigs. And all the devils besought Christ, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And as soon as they said that, and forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. Do you notice? They couldn't leave without Christ's permission. He has control over the demons. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. The demons could take no action without Christ's command. And he commanded them to enter into a herd of 2,000 pigs. A pig for a demon. And this number, 2,000, figuratively represents the great number. It's a figure of the great number of sins God's elect have. And Christ charged those sins to him. So, and he took them. He put them away forever. We're plagued by our sins, but we have no idea how many there are or really what we are capable of doing. For we are restrained by the hand of our loving Father to keep us from really straying any further than we do. These pigs, remember what I told you about the name the Gadarene means? These pigs were in a rush to get to that sea. They were Gadarened, or rushed themselves into the Sea of Galilee to be seen no more. And this is a prophecy that's found in Micah 7:19. Listen to what that says. It says, He will have compassion upon us. That Lord had compassion upon that demonic man. He will subdue our iniquities. He subdued those demons in that man. And listen, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. God does not see the sins of his people because they've been cast into the depths of the sea, figuratively speaking, into the depths of the sea by our Lord. Those for whom Christ made the ultimate and accepted sacrifice before his Father can never, ever be charged with those sins again, or be charged with the sins we're going to commit in this service, or the sins we're going to commit down the road. And we can find that in Romans 8, 1 through 2. Listen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Christ had charged the sins of his people to himself. He made his people's sins his own. He carried those sins, that sin burden, to the cross. Just as those demons were cast in those swine and cast into the sea, our Lord carried our sins in himself to the cross. There before his Father, he gave up his lifeblood to wash away the sins of his people. And now in Christ, listen to Hebrews 8:12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. This demonic man was one of Christ's elect, a number of the saved church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against any of those people. Christ said that in Matthew 16:18. And immediately when Christ gave that command, those demons entered to the pigs. And you know, by Jewish law, pigs were unclean. They were doubly unclean now. And they naturally loved to wallow in the mire. Look with me at verse 14 and 16. And they that fed the swine, these are people. There were pig herders there that were watching over these swine. And they that fed the swine and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done, and they saw that it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. These swine herders, when they saw all of this that was taking place, they ran into the city and told these people what in the world was going on. Mentioned what Christ had done to this man, and mentioned what Christ had done to those demons and those pigs. And these people, they came out to see. Look at verse 15. And they came to Jesus. Not like that demonic man ran to Jesus. Now, this is a different coming to Christ. And they came to Jesus and see him, this demonic man. This they had heard about it. Now they wanted to come out and see for themselves. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. And listen how this man was clothed. Sitting. He's not raging anymore. He's not what he was. And listen, he was clothed. You know what he's clothed in? Christ's robe of righteousness. And in his right mind. That's a perfect picture of God's people. We're sitting. We're waiting. We're relaxed. We're comfortable in our Lord. We're clothed with his robe of righteousness and his garment of salvation. And once when we were dead and lost in our trespasses and sin and out of our mind, we were not. We're in our mind. But look what it says about the people. And they were afraid, though. The people, out of curiosity and fear, came to see Christ and the previously demon-possessed man. Regenerated people like this man find peace and joy and contentment in Christ, knowing God's wrath has been fully vented upon their Savior for them through his blood sacrifice before his Father on the cross. We're content. Oh, we still have our moments. Now, don't tell me you still don't have moments of doubt and concern We still have those moments. But those have been forgiven even. Our spiritual insanity has been cured. Our filthy rags of self-righteousness that we were conceived in, they've been taken away from us. Oh, we're still acquainted with them now. We're still plagued by our sins, but not before God and Christ. Those sins are gone. And we're eternally clothed in Christ's righteousness and accepted by His Father. And look at verse 17. I'm winding up here. These are the people again. And they began to pray Him to depart out of their coasts. Those people that had come out to see Christ and this once demonic man, when they saw all this, they began to pray. Not pray to Christ in blessing Him for what He did, but pray that You leave. Get out of here. We don't want You. The last words of verse 15 say the people were afraid. Lost and unregenerate people reject Christ and the only way of salvation. They ought to be afraid. These people were afraid. And here in verses 18 through 20. And when He was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed Him that He might be with him. This is Christ. When Christ had gone back to the ship, this previously demonic man followed Him and wanted to be with Him. Howbeit, Jesus serveth him not, but saith unto him, Go home. Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and hath compassion on thee. And he departed, this demonic man departed, and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. The cured man wanted to follow Christ. And that's a natural feeling. The regenerate person wants to follow their Lord. They desire to be with Him. But Christ gently refused this man's request. Didn't turn him away in a harsh manner. He gently refused his request. Instead, Christ said, Go tell people. Be a witness. Be a witness and tell others what you have seen here. What happened to you. You know what Christ was telling him? Basically, He was saying, Go spread the good news of how you were healed. And that's what people desire to do. They want to spread the good news of how they had been saved. Who saved them? What they were like. They don't dwell on what they were like. They dwell on who saved them and who put their sins away. Go tell people who healed you. Become a spreader of the gospel, basically, is what He's telling this man. To all who are called and who will hear. Some will hear, they won't believe. These people, some of them even saw it and wouldn't believe it. Some heard about it and wouldn't believe it. You ever tried to witness to somebody and it was like knocking on a brick wall? You just can't get it through to them? And you can't believe how come they can't see something that's so simple? That's because they're still blind. Become a spreader of the gospel. Those are our instructions when God opens an opportunity for us. That once condemned, that once demon sinful possessed man, you know where he is right now? He's right there with that thief that Christ saved on the cross in front of his Lord. He's right there with Paul, old Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, who once persecuted the church. Guess what? In one day, for some of us, sooner than others, we'll be right there with those certain man, with our Lord and our Savior. Thank you.
I'm glad I heard that. I'm glad I heard that. I'm thankful to the Lord. I really am. That's every believer's experience of grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your goodness and Your mercy in blessing us with this word. We know, Lord, that apart from Your grace, we are as spiritually lost as this man, this maniac of Gadara, rushing headlong on a course to eternal destruction. But we thank you for the grace that purposed to save him and that purposed to save all your people. We know that you will find each one and go where they are, bring to them this message of the gospel, this good news, and work with your omnipotent power in their hearts and minds to deliver them and set them free. And you alone will receive all the honor and the glory and the praise. We thank you. We pray that you'd help us, watch over us, protect us as we depart from this place. And do all we pray to the praise of your name. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.